श्री गुरु भाग्य बंदिता महाभवन वित्तय सदा पूर्व पारज परंपरा प्रचालिता प्रज्ञा प्रमुक्त कृते भक्ति निर्मल निर्जहरस्य निवृतम संरक्षकम सादरम वंदे श्री गुरुदेव मनात् शिर आचार्य वर्जम निजम प्रेरकं प्रत्यपश्चच्च शिष्यनं भक्तिवर्त्मनि भक्ति निर्मालमाचार्य स्वामिनं प्रणमाम्यहम् गुरुभाविष्ट सुपुरकं गुरुगणायराशिष संभूषितम् चिंचाचिंच समस्त वेद निपुणं श्रीरूप पंतनुगम् गोविंद अभिदमुज्जलं वरार्थनं भक्त्यन्वितं सुंदरं वंदे विश्वगुरुं च दिव्य भगवत् प्रेम्न हि बीजप्रदम् देवं दिव्यातनं सुचंदवरणं बलाकचलंचितं सन्दनन्दपुरं सदेकवरणं वैराग्यविज्यं बुधिं श्रीसिद्धान्तनिजं सुभक्तिलसितं सरजातानं वरं वन्देत्यं सुपदं मदेकशरणं न्याशिष्यनं श्रीधरं निखिलभुवनामायच्छिन्नं विच्छिन्नकर्त्री विबुधबाहुलमृग्य मुक्तिमोहन्तदत्री चितिलितविधिरागरागरादेशदानि विलासचुरी नित्यं भक्ति सिद्धान्तवाणी नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि सचि पुत्रमत्तस्वरूपं रूपं च स्वगजम् उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोस्तवासिं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका मदवशं प्राप्तो यस्या पतितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्रं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमो महाबलनाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्य नाम्ने गौरचिषे नमः वृन्दाय तुलसीदेवाय प्रियाय केशवस्य च कृष्णभक्तिपदिदेवि सत्यवच्चाय नमो नमः वांशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः मुखं करोति वश्चलं भङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं जाकृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतरणम्.
Today is a very wonderful day. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, sometimes when he was speaking about Krishna, he would say, Krishna is the most wonderful wonder of wonders. And this day, Anukut Mahotsav, that is the day of the Giriraj Govardhan Puja, it is one of Krishna's most extraordinary and wonderful pastimes. According to the vision of the ancient sages of India, everything is person. This is the Vedic understanding, that everything is person. The clouds are persons, the trees are persons, the mountains are persons, all are persons. It is quite extraordinary that from this personal philosophy, the overriding philosophy from India today is impersonalism. The Shankara's conception of Mayavad. How does this come from such a personal conception? The ancient seers saw everything as person. In ancient times, at the beginning of the Satyayuga, one famous sage, his name was Pulastya Muni. And actually Pulastya Muni was the grandfather of Ravana, when he was a great sage. And he lived in Kashi, in Banaras. And when he was visiting Simantadweep, there he saw, in the Himalayas, the great Dronachal mountain, that his wife of the mountain Dronachal, had given birth to one son. And that son was also a mountain, and his name was Govardhan. And he was the joy of his mother and father. Some people may find that extraordinary, that a mountain would have a wife and a child. But this was the vision of the sages of ancient times. Not only their vision, they were able to relate and communicate with those entities, because their vision was much broader than our vision today. Today our vision has become stunted, and conditioned to a great extreme, that we only believe what we can see, what we can smell, what we can touch, what we can taste. Otherwise it cannot be real. That is our unfortunate position. Anyway, that Pulastya Muni, he approached Dronacharya and said, I live in the place of Kashi, and there, beautiful river Ganges flowing through there, and many nice forests and so on, but no great mountain there. And I would like that there would be one nice mountain where I can perform my tapasya, etc. So you please give your son to me to take to Kashi. And Dronacharya, very heartbroken, but he cannot refuse the request of that sage. And Govardhan asked him, how will you take me there? How will you take me to Kashi? And Pulastya Muni says, I will carry you in my right hand. Then Giriraj Govardhan, he accepted and said, on the condition that on the journey you do not put me down on the ground. If you put me down anywhere, there I will remain forever. Okay, it was accepted. And Pulastya Muni began his journey carrying Giriraj Govardhan. By the divine will of Providence, on his journey to Kashi, he passed through Vraja, Vrindavan Dham. And there, Giriraj Govardhan exercised his power of Jogamaya. And suddenly Pulastya Muni couldn't resist but must pass water. So feeling great desperation to pass water, he placed Giriraj Govardhan on the ground and went to answer the call of nature. And when he came back, no matter how hard he tried, he could not again lift the mountain. With one hand, with two hands, any way he tried, he could not budge it even an inch, and became very angry and gave curse to Govardhan, that for every day you will sink into the ground by the size of a mustard seed. And over many thousands of years, Giriraj Govardhan, from a huge mountain, now quite small mountain, but still mountain, because of Pulastya's curse, but living in Vrindavan, residing in Vrindavan. This is by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord Krishna. For his eternal pastimes, Govardhan Giriraj is necessary for his eternal pastimes. Without Giriraj Govardhan, Krishna, Radha and Krishna cannot happily play together. All of those things are necessary. All the ingredients that make up Vrindavan, they're all necessary for Krishna's Leela. The Govardhan, the Radha Kund, the Govinda Kunda, the Kadamba tree, the peacocks, the cows, everything is the Jamuna River, everything. All of those are necessary ingredients for Krishna's Leela. Krishna's Leela, that means Krishna's play. Leela means play. God is playful. God is not just a static, amorphous entity vibrating in the oneness. No, he is a person and he is playful. And in that playful nature, he is exhibiting his pastimes of love. That is called Leela, Krishna Leela. No other religious conception understands this conception of Leela. Mostly, most people's concern with God is in a mundane way. They are thinking in terms of reward and punishment in their relationship with the Lord. If I do good, God will reward me. And if I do bad, God will punish me. This is most people thinking like that who believe in God. But Krishna is not just sitting on a cloud to dispense blessings and punishment, a thunderbolt on the head to the unrighteous and flowers and gold on the righteous. No, he has his own purpose to fulfill, his own agenda, and that is his Leela, to enjoy his Leela. He is the supreme enjoyer, the Paramapurusha, And everything is existing only for that purpose, to fulfill his pleasure-seeking tendency. That is his nature. The cause of all existence is only for that. No other purpose. Every other purpose is secondary purpose, but primary purpose is to fulfill his every whimsical desire. We heard that that in the time of the Emperor Akbar of India, he was Muslim by religion, but liked the Hindu religion very much. He was very much attracted by Hindu religion. In fact, one of his wives was a Hindu princess. And he was very liberal-minded and thought there many ways to approach God, not only one way to approach God. And in Delhi, they made a great religious exhibition. And in there, they had dioramas and paintings and so on, showing all the different gods and goddesses of India. Not all, because there maybe is 33 million different gods and goddesses, so that would be a big exhibition. It would take your whole life to see everything. But the main gods and goddesses, and they're taking the Emperor Akbar around, and one pandit with them, and he is telling, this is Lord Shiva, and his purpose is this, and his purpose is that, and this goddess, she is the goddess of this and goddess of that, and this is Indra, he is king of heaven, and if you propitiate him, the rain will fall, and so on, so on, so on, so on. Everyone there with their function, gods and goddesses. And then finally they came to the exhibit of Krishna. And Krishna standing, playing his flute with the cows around him, maybe with some cowherd boys and girls there. And Akbar said, and this god, what is his purpose? He has no purpose other than to enjoying himself. He is not concerned with the day-to-day running of the universal affairs. That is delegated to others. And his only purpose, that is for his own enjoyment, his own satisfaction, his divine play. And Akbar said, this is the highest conception of your God. This is the highest conception. He's a very intelligent man. It must be so. If you were God, what would you want to do all day? Just be administrating good and bad and make sure the rain falls and make sure, or enjoying yourself? What would be your choice? We are not so different from Krishna. We are part of Krishna. He is our origin. So we are our nature also something like his nature. And his nature is that he wants to enjoy. And to the nth degree, he has made all arrangement for his enjoyment. So today, according to the ancient tradition in Vrindavan, the cowherd men and women, they are Vaishya community. That means farmers. And they are dairy farmers. Their wealth is the cow. So they are looking after the cow, protecting the cow, seeing the cow as their mother, and worshipping the cow because she is the provider of their fortune. So, and from her milk they are making so many yogurt and so many preparations, so many milk sweets and so on, and selling that. And this is their livelihood. So, to make good milk, necessary good grass. Cows are so wonderful that they can turn grass into milk. They are a very unique animal, the cow. She has four stomachs, and one stomach to another, and coming finally milk, beautiful creamy milk, and more than she can feed her calves by nature's arrangement, and she is sharing with human society. It is a symbiosis, natural symbiosis. It is not unnatural. It is very natural. Then this is the community, Krishna's community. They are gopas. And they are moving from one pasturing ground to another, sometimes in Gokula, sometimes in Vrindavan, sometimes in the different forests, Mahavan and so on. They're traveling from one place to another, for the best pasturing ground. When pasturing ground is depleted, then they're moving to the next one, and like this. And their ancient tradition is that they will worship Indra, because Indra is the devata who is in charge of universal affairs that will make the rainfall. And without good rainfall, you cannot have good grass. So they are, by ancient tradition, they are worshipping Indra on this day, every year. But Lord Krishna, he wanted to do something different this year. He wants to assert his position over Indra, and also wants to show the position of his devotee and his relationship with his devotee, and also to show who is Govardhan. So this time Lord Krishna is only 7 years old by normal calculation. Guru Maharaj explained to us that in the Vishnu Purana it is told there that very exceptional children, their age is calculated 1.5 times the normal time, if they are very exceptional. So by that calculation, then Krishna is 11 years old. His development, you can say, is 11 years old. But anyway, by years, 7 years old. Then he asked to, his father is Nanda Maharaj, he is the king of the Gopas. And he asked Ananda Maharaj, when he saw all of the preparation going on for this festival, "Daddy, what is this festival for? Please explain to me. Is it some ancient ceremony or what?" And to begin with, Ananda Maharaj, very busy, he doesn't want to spend time to explain to Krishna. But Krishna is so charming. But finally, his father, okay, and began to explain. "Actually, we are worshipping Indra so that we will get good rainfall, and good rainfall, we will get good grass. And this way, he will be happy with us, we will become prosperous," like that. Then Krishna, a little mischievously, said, "Oh, actually, our real connection is with Govardhan Hill, not so much with Indra. Is it not that whether you do puja to Indra or not, the rain is still falling, isn't it?" He said, "Not only that, sometimes the rain's falling on the ocean. What necessity for that? The ocean doesn't need any water, or full of water. So I think it would be better to worship Govardhan, because Govardhan is giving everything to us." And this way, many clever arguments Krishna gave, and finally Nanda Maharaj was persuaded, so Nanda Maharaj announced, because he is the king, he announced, "Today we will not worship Indra, but we will worship Govardhan instead." And Guru Maharaj said, some happily accepted and some begrudgingly accepted that. Some are afraid of what will happen if they do not carry out their obligation to Indra. They know Indra's nature, a little angry sometimes nature, and sometimes vindictive nature. Is in the scripture it is told, who can do 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice, they can sit on the throne with Indra in Swarga. Like that. So 100 sacrifices, some kind of sacrifice. Then anyone will do that. When they get to about 98, 99, Indra starts getting a bit hot under the collar. "I don't know if I want to share my throne with that person." So he'll send Urvasi or some Apsara, a heavenly lady, to entice that person away from their sacrifice. And this way keep his seat for himself. It is his nature, like that, vindictive, sometimes nature. But he is devotee of Krishna. Otherwise, not possible to be a devata without being a devotee of Krishna. A devata, they are not independent of Krishna. They know that. They are servant of Krishna, servant of Narayan. Anyway, this happened. The sacrifice to Indra was stopped, and big sacrifice made to Govardhan instead. All the food preparations, everything that was made for Indra, they offered to Giriraj Govardhan. And that time, when everything was offered to Giriraj Govardhan, that is called Anukut, means a mountain of food was offered to that Mount Govardhan. Then it is said that all of the people, they saw that Giriraj actually eat all of those offerings. And then after finishing all the offerings, he's also still not satisfied. And his arms coming from the mountain and going into the houses of the gopas, the cowherd men's houses, and going in, any food in this larder, and taking that and eating that also, whatever, till everything was consumed. And then Krishna told, oh, you see, you thought it was just a mountain, but actually he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Krishna showed like that. So, but meanwhile, news came to Indra. Oh, my lord, they have stopped your sacrifice in Braja. That ancient sacrifice, they have stopped it by the tricks of one boy. Extraordinary boy, but boy nevertheless. And Indra become overwhelmed with anger and called his very worst storm clouds. He's told when Lord Shiva, when he will dance the dance of destruction to destroy the universe, accompanying him, these clouds of destruction come to rain down great calamitous torrents upon the earth. That one is called Samvartika. He is engaged by Lord Shiva in the destruction of the universe. And that Samvartika called by Indra, go and destroy Vrindavan. You can see the power of nature. Just recently we saw in Pakistan and in China the rain coming and destroying everything, isn't it? No matter how much technology or how much advanced you may be, especially in China, right? They're China leading the way in technology in so many things. But they're all finished. Their houses destroyed, nowhere to live, everything destroyed by the power of nature. And that is nothing compared to the devastation that Indra sent to Vrindavan. We cannot imagine. And the storm began. And then everyone coming to Krishna, oh, this, you know, this is your fault, Krishna. You know that, don't you? You told us not to worship Indra. Now Indra is so angry and sending so much trouble to us. What shall we do, Krishna? You see, even they're blaming Krishna, but they have no other shelter but Krishna. They're not saying, oh, we should do this or we should do that. No, Krishna, you tell us what we should do. Then Krishna, thinking, oh, they have all come to take shelter of me, then very easily, with the little finger of his left hand, he lifted up the Govardhan hill, like a child lifts a mushroom or a ball, and hold above his head. And everyone come and all and took shelter underneath the Govardhan hill, which Krishna held like an umbrella. And Indra, no matter how much rain and thunder and so many devastating things he sent down upon them, they were safe and sound underneath the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Krishna is the protector of his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. He says, just surrender to me. And don't be afraid that by neglecting your duty in this world, that you will come to ruin for that. I will protect you. Mame kam sharanam braja. Braja. That means, Sharanam Braja means, who will surrender to me, take shelter of me, they will come to me in Braja, in Vrindavan. They will come to me in Vrindavan. In a kind of hidden way, coded way, Krishna tells this in Gita. You will come to me in Braja. And this is an example of that. The cowherd men and women of Vrindavan, they neglected their duty to Indra, their worldly duty to Indra. And Indra tried to punish them for that. But Krishna protected them, fulfilling that promise. You can give up your duty, your obligation to anyone in this world, even to Indra. I will protect you from even from Indra. So Maharaj Nanda, Krishna's father, he prays, who is Indra compared to Krishna? Krishna may appear to be just like a little boy, but in him the power of the power of the universe contained within him. Then Indra is nothing compared with him, that boy. And that boy is given shelter to us. So we pray to him that he will bless us and he will shelter us. And it is peculiar thing that Krishna gives so much shelter to his devotees. Held that mountain as if it were nothing for one whole week, 7 days. And Indra doing his best to make like Pakistan or make like China. But it is no good. Krishna is happily holding. There are coward men are thinking, oh, how he can Krishna can hold? And with their sticks, they are also trying to hold that. But Krishna just laughing to see that. Yes, they think they are helping, but only by his power everything is being helped. It is not so extraordinary, actually. We may think it is extraordinary. And the atheists will say it is impossible. That a 7-year-old boy can hold a mountain on his with one finger of his left hand, impossible. Against all the laws of physics, not possible. And some even will say, even God, it is not possible. But then what is your idea about God? God can do anything. It is by the will of God that all the laws of physics are enabled. And in a moment, he can do away with all those laws and replace them with a new set of laws, completely different, to make this world work. It is inconceivable to us. But to him, it is nothing. Let there be water, there was water. Let there be light, there was light. Let there be earth, there was earth. This is in the Bible at the beginning, in Genesis. This is how the Lord creates. By his will, it is so. Let there be light, there was light. This is not difficult for him. In philosophy, philosophers, they like to give these conundrums, you know, like impossible questions. And one question about the existence of God is, if God exists, can he make something so heavy that he cannot lift it? So this is the question. And it's a tricky question, because if you say, no, he can't make something that's so heavy he can't lift it, then then how can he be God? Because there's something he cannot do. He cannot make something that is so heavy he can't lift it. And if you say, yes, he can make something so heavy that he can't lift it, and then he's made something so heavy that he can't lift it, then how he can be God if he can't lift it? So this is their question. But our Guru Maharaj, his reply was, yes, he can make something so heavy that he cannot lift it, and then he'll lift it. Because this is the nature of the infinite. He is not limited. To now he cannot lift it, in the next moment he can lift it. That is the nature of the infinite, because it's always increasing, never, always dynamic, never stagnant. This idea we have to try to accommodate in our small consciousness. If we can allow that conception to live within us, then maybe some part of that absolute will descend into our consciousness. Part of the absolute is also absolute. Part of the infinite is also infinite. Even Albert Einstein recognized that in his theory of relativity. He is telling this in a scientific way. He wants to say that everything is what it is plus its potential. So whatever you can conceive of, even a grain of sand, how much potential is inside that grain of sand? You cannot know. You cannot know. Inside the atom, how much potential is there? If you break the atom, you can destroy the world, isn't it? By atomic power, they have found that. Just a minuscule thing like the atom. So everything is what it is plus its potential. And who knows what is anything's potential? And everything is existing within consciousness. And consciousness presupposes personality. There must be person. Consciousness equals person. Must be, always. Cannot be consciousness without personality. So everything is personal. And Krishna also personal. God is personal. But his characteristic, his nature is infinite. But we are so stunted that we are seeing everything as finite. The Giriraj Govardhan, or the devotees of Krishna, they are worshipping the rock of from Govardhan as Krishna himself. It is told by the great Vaishnavas, Acharyas of our line, that the Govardhan hill, that is Krishna himself. And part of the Govardhan hill, even a pebble from Govardhan hill, that is also Krishna himself in its fullness, in his infinite capacity, all there within that rock of Govardhan. But we are only seeing a rock because our vision is too much stunted, too much conditioned by the material world. But with faith we can see the infinite Krishna in that rock. By faith. Faith is the guiding principle. The principle which connects us with that upper realm. With that infinite realm. Without faith, it's all meaningless to us. Without faith, it's just a fairy tale. It's just a myth. Just a story from an old legend about a little boy that lifted a hill. A foolish old wives' tale, people will say. Meant to teach some moral story or something. But actually it is reality. We think that this wood and stone and glass and metal and all of these things, that is reality. But that is all illusion. Because why? Because it has no permanence. 200, 300, 400 years from now it'll all be dust. But the infinite reality is ever existing and ever dynamic and ever fresh, ever new. But we cannot see that because we are conditioned by our limited vision. Material life means limited vision, because as soon as you come under the influence of time and space, you are conditioned. We are conditioned to see everything with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Is linear existence. We are living in the plane of linear existence. But Krishna, his existence is non-linear. His existence more like circular, going in a circular way. So in 1 minute, Krishna appearing in Mathura, in this world. Then in another universe appearing in another Mathura and another, like this, and in another, and another, and another. Example Krishnadas Kaviraj gives is the sunrise. Now the sun is rising here. Then in 5 minutes it is rising there, and 5 minutes it is rising there. And somewhere in the world, right now, the sun is rising, isn't it? And so, you know, primitive people, they would say the sun is being born from the ocean, when they would look to the ocean and the sun is being born from the ocean. But we know the sun is not born and then when sinking is not dying. He is being born here or rising here and setting there. and then somewhere else rising there. So this way we can get some idea of the infinite. Always Krishna's Leela going somewhere. Here, then there, then there, then there. Like a transcendental roadshow. 1 minute going here, 1 minute there, next minute there. Like this. Gives us some idea about that. But with our finite thinking, it is difficult for us to conceive these things without faith. And faith means trust in something sublime. Something that is beyond our capacity to envision. Srila Guru Maharaj would say, we want to capture God within our laboratory, put him under a microscope and do some experiment to prove he exists or not exists. But that is all foolishness. When the Kauravas and Pandavas, before the war in which Bhagavad Gita is spoken, then there was a great assembly at the house of Kuru in Hastinapur, and Krishna was sent as emissary from the Pandavas. And Duryodhan, he's thinking, we will capture Krishna, arrest him and imprison him. If we can imprison Krishna, then the Pandavas will lose all desire, all impetus to fight. Without Krishna, they're nothing. We will easily defeat them. So we will just arrest Krishna when he comes and imprison him. So Krishna came as emissary of the Pandavas to that assembly, and Duryodhan put his plan into operation. They come to try and capture Krishna. But Krishna understands everything. He says, oh, Duryodhan, you want to capture, arrest me and bind me. Then how you will bind me? And then Krishna showed his Vishwarup, his universal form to them. And suddenly they all in that assembly, they could see that universal form, Vishwarup form of Krishna. Then Krishna, where will you tie your rope, Duryodhan? You cannot capture the infinite with your finite rope or microscope or anything. How you will capture the infinite? As Srila Sridhar Maharaj used to say, what will you understand with your puppy brain? What will you understand? But we are thinking we have come to the limit of all knowledge. This is the arrogance of human beings. But we have only so much capacity. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he used to say, at very best, I have 180 degree vision. I cannot see beyond 180 degrees. Without eyes in the back of my head, I cannot see 360 degrees. So our vision always limited. So no matter how good your microscope or how powerful your telescope, there's always the defective eye looking into that instrument. So you will not see the complete truth. You cannot measure the infinite. You cannot capture the infinite. But you can connect with the infinite through faith. And by grace, when our Guru Maharaj was preaching, gave a lecture at the assembly of the Brahma Samaj in the 1930s. And after his talk, one of their leaders came up to Guru Maharaj and said, if the infinite can be known by the finite, then that can't be infinite. And he thought, I got him. But Guru Maharaj's immediate reply was, if the infinite cannot make himself known to the finite, then he is not infinite. Because infinite means he has infinite capacity. Then he can make himself known to you also. You have not the capacity to know him. But if he says, know me, then you can know him. Like in that assembly of the Kurus, when he showed his Vishwarup to them, then Dhritarashtra, he's blind from birth. And all are, they are seeing Krishna's Vishwarup. But Dhritarashtra cannot see. Then he prayed to Krishna, you just please remove my blindness just for a moment so I can see that Vishwarup they are all seeing. Krishna said, Dhritarashtra, it is not necessary for me to remove your blindness or restore your sight. If I say you see me, you will see me. Then see me. And Dhritarashtra saw. All rights reserved by him. All rights reserved. Guru Maharaj gives the example, if an ant is running on the floor, he may not be aware that there's 30 people in this room. for him, they're just obstacles to go around or over or under, like that. Shapes. But he may not be aware that any other living entity here. But if I will extend my finger and touch that ant, then some consciousness may come, oh, someone is touching me. So in the same way, we have no capacity to understand what is God, who is God. But if he will extend by his grace, extend his hand and touch us, then we can be filled with that. Oh, some consciousness of, oh, he is touching me. I can understand. By his will we can understand. And only by his will. All rights reserved by him. So we do not know what is Krishna. Who is Krishna? We may have so many theories about that. And so many ideas about that. But ultimately all rights reserved by him. But he is so gracious that now and again he reveals his divine Leela to the world. The great sages and saints, the rishis and munis, they see that. In their heart they see that and translate that into holy scriptures, Vedic scripture, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. Particularly Srimad Bhagavatam contains the Leela of Krishna in its essential form. Especially the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, exclusively dealing with Krishna's divine pastimes. This is Vedavyasa's final work, the Srimad Bhagavat. Srila Sridhar Maharaj said, the junior most of the scripture, but with the senior most thought. Because Vyasadeva also, he is not static, he is dynamic, he is progressive. Then when he began to scribe the Vedas, then his own internal development at a particular stage. But when he came to write, to pen Srimad Bhagavatam, he is at the full ripeness and maturity of his own spiritual realization. Then the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Purana, is known as the spotless Purana. Because anything which is superfluous to spiritual understanding is eliminated from there. There you will find the perfect conception of Godhead. There you will find this Leela of Govardhan Puja. And the meaning of that. The understanding of that. And the perfect preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani, searching for his own self, come to show his own self as his own devotee. That is Bhakta Avatar. He has assumed the form of a devotee to show us how we can reach Krishna, how we can worship Krishna, how we can understand Krishna. And his preaching is Srimad Bhagavatam. He is the preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam. And his weapon for destroying nescience is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is the Maha Mantra, the great mantra, the greatest mantra. If you know no other mantra, no loss if you know this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Dev has come to distribute this mantra. And by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense, all the secrets of the revealed scriptures will become known to you. They will become part of you. They will become reality to you. No longer will they be just ancient writings in old dusty books, but rather they will become the reality of your own existence. You will be able to enter into that reality. Take part in those Leela of Krishna. That will be possible all by the chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense. And who can chant the holy name of Krishna? Who is humble, who is tolerant, and who gives honor to others without expecting any honor for themselves. That is the secret of the chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Without humility, without tolerance, and without giving all honor to others, and expecting no honor for yourselves, you cannot chant this name of Krishna properly. It will only be a superficial external sound, noise. It will be noise. For it to be divine, for it to be Krishna himself, it must have the touch of divinity. And divinity is revealed to those who are humble, who are tolerant, and who give honor to others without expecting that for themselves. This is Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev's own teaching. It is not mundane, it is not speculation, it is revelation. And through this chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with humility, with tolerance, and with giving honor to everyone, then we will see the dirt that is covering our consciousness will become clear, and we will see our own self, and beyond that we will see Krishna himself. It is not just a dream, it is not just a fairy tale, it is reality. You will be able to see Krishna himself, and speak with Krishna, and play with Krishna, and be with Krishna eternally. That is the meaning, that is the purpose of the chanting of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We are to take shelter of that Krishna who is so gracious, so kind, so magnanimous, so forgiving. Just as the residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna under the Govardhan hill, we also will take shelter of Krishna, that we have no other recourse but the lotus feet of our Lord. We have no other resource except the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. If this lesson we can take away with us today, we will be very much blessed. And today we pray for that Giriraj Govardhan's blessing on our head. And no Indra will be able to harm us when we try to serve Krishna, even if it means we are neglecting the things of this world. Not even Indra will be able to touch us. It is the fact. Jai Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Nirmal Acharya Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Jagat Guru Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Bhagavan, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Sri Chaitanya Sarasvatam Ki Jai. Jai Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Jai Hanuman.